Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Esprit.net News.
I want to get the language right tonight.
Don't ever let anybody tell you that your efforts don't matter.
This is not a war zone. These are unarmed people.
Politicians and commentators.
Let anybody take your man.
As I remind you, I've done this before.
It doesn't make you tough to hurt these people.
All right, I want to welcome you to Esprit.net News on Ask Kathleen. Kathleen, are you there? Kathleen has me on radio.
I am here.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought you had me on radio silence. All right. On Esprit.net News on Ask Kathleen, what we're going to do is we're going to cover some news stories. We're going to give you some stories that happened throughout the week. We're going to discuss with a panel. I know we have Loki on. Hopefully we have Finesse come on soon and columnist Kai Sims. Hopefully Kai is around. So, you know, we'll start off with some of our leading stories for this week's news. The President Barack Obama's reelection campaign plans to release a 17-minute documentary next week about his first term in office. It's called The Road We Traveled, and it's to be released March 15th. But until then, the campaign has unveiled some clips from that film that's on a trailer on YouTube. It's narrated by Tom Hanks, so that should be pretty interesting. I watched a little bit of it. I don't know. Did you see any of it, Kathleen?
I did not.
You didn't see any of it yet. But
I actually don't even really know what you're talking about.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Loki. All right. We're gonna call for a sub. You have a buzzer, Kathleen, in there? We're going to bring in Loki. It is nice when we can have fun at the news. Just
I'm
let it
feeling
go.
My sister. I'm feeling my sister.
Oh, no. We got another one? Okay, news is going to be on me tonight. Don't even worry about that. I got you. You want to call in. Call in. Let us know your thoughts if you have any questions. I think the chat room's open, Kathleen.
It is open.
All right, so you can call in, area code 909-265-9189. You're listening to Esprit.net News on Ask Kathleen. We're just going to cover some news stories, and when Loki and Kathleen doesn't answer your question, please feel free to hit one on your phone, raise your hand, and we'll bring you in.
I think Kai is with us.
Okay, well, let's bring in Kai. Hey, Kai, are you with us?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, that's better. Okay.
We have Finesse. How you doing?
That was hilarious, Kathleen. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Now you see, I'm just doing regular news stories, and Kathleen blows me out of the water by saying she hasn't even heard it before. All right.
Yeah, I'm with Finesse. That was priceless.
We are just trying to inform the listeners, and Kathleen just throws me under the bus, so to speak. I
heard, and I was rolling because I thought that's the most honest comment that anybody has ever said to ever done radio. I don't even know what you're talking about.
She didn't even clean it up to be politically correct. I'm not familiar with all of those details. Yeah, it was just cold. That was cold, right? All right. I'm gonna have to take a week vacation after this one. All right. Next story is the U.S. economy. While we're doing some news, the U.S. economy is improving faster than experts predicted. The 24 economists came out with a story this week that they came from the private sector, corporate, academic backgrounds, and they said that they foresaw a slightly stronger growth in hiring than they did 2 months earlier. Unemployment in America also is predicted to fall from its current rate of 8.3% to 8% by Election Day. And by the end of 2013, economists expect joblessness to have dropped to 7.4%, and that's down from earlier estimates of 7.8%. Now, Also, our jobs reports are expected to come out tomorrow, and it's going to show that we have, for 24 straight months, or for those who are counting, 2 years of private sector growth under President Obama, whereas when he came into office, we were losing 750,000 jobs a month. So we have 2 years of private sector job growth. On the other hand, there's a story. I know one of the stories that we talked about that Kathleen is the motivation of today's show, that she just didn't think that we dove into enough, was the story, the announcement that Bobbi Kristina Brown will be giving an exclusive interview to Oprah in the wake of her mother passing, Whitney Houston. The preview trailer is of the upcoming television interview. It's on YouTube. The 18-year-old is receiving a hug from Oprah, and they're embracing and smiling. And it's going to be broadcast on Oprah's Next Chapter, airing Sunday, March 11th at 9 p.m. Before that interview at 7 p.m. on OWN, they're going to re-air the special Remembering Whitney, and that's the Oprah 2009 interview. Now, personally, I won't be watching either one of them after our conversation before, but since Kathleen didn't have a chance, we're going to give Kathleen first on this one. Kathleen, what do you think about the show? Or the Oprah interview with Bobbi Kristina.
Okay, you all are really going to throw me off the air right now.
That's why let you go first.
I thought Oprah retired.
She has our network, so she does a new show called Oprah's Next Chapter.
Yeah, I know, but isn't that why she put up the show? If she's still trying to do the greatest interview, I'm like, I thought the Oprah show was over and she's doing the OWN network. Well, I don't get it.
I agree. Okay. She's doing the Brett Favre.
No. Here's the thing. Oprah has always done something on her OWN network. But you got to look at it like this, like Barbara Walters and ABC. You know, Barbara Walters is retired, but when there's a juicy interview,
they let her come back and do it.
Special, yeah. And Oprah has to do something for ratings. Now, this is going to be huge for the network because, you know, she gets this interview, and at the same time, it's going to be filled with promos for some of the whack shows that are on that network.
we are not even covering for Oprah today. Ask Kathleen Oprah. Oprah's going to make you get rid of us, by the way, Kathleen, when she asks you to come on.
You know, it's just a little jealousy, that's all. Don't even pay me any mind. But listen, the thing is, I'm not saying that she shouldn't do it, but I'm just wondering, okay, if she's going to still land interviews. When Barbara Walters lands her interviews, where she airs them where? On ABC?
ABC.
On primetime, on, you know, all this other stuff. So you guys help me. Will everybody turn off primetime TV to go to OWN to watch the interview with Bobbi Kristina?
Every black person in America basically will be watching that.
So then why would not Oprah continue her show on the OWN network then, since the ratings are so poor?
Well, because this will bring ratings up for her station. Why would she continue to make billions of dollars for these other folks if she can make it with herself? I understand.
No. I'm saying, why doesn't she do an Oprah-type show on her network? Because people would watch it. Now she could finally interview all the rap artists and all the black people that she never had on the Oprah show.
Those two things ain't never going to happen. I'll be an old white man before I see that happening. And as black as I am, that ain't going to happen. So you can hang that up. But she does. She does do a wrap-up. She does do a wrap-up. She does do her thing. But it's the fact that the programming is just horrible. I thought the best thing was Rosie coming on and Rosie getting back to do the kind of talk show that she does. She's doing some Wayne Brady, Maury Povich-type mess that's just horrible. And just the other cast of characters that she has is just horrible. Now, when contracts are for Dr. Phil and what's the heifer name that can't cook, Rachel, we'll see if they come on that network. Because she has all these other shows that she's contracted to, but they're all with other networks.
Rachel Ray.
Yeah, who can't cook.
Even in the other room about that one.
You gotta understand, when you got Oprah money, you get to do whatever Oprah wants to do.
You know, I can't take up for Oprah. Although I do watch Sweetie Pies. I think that's a good show. It's about the best show on the network, and it has the best ratings. So I don't know what to say about Oprah.
I don't think my remote will let me go to that network.
It won't go that far.
You know what? Since you brought up networks, and I'm writing a column on this because I have a problem with all these networks. Yesterday in D.C., Magic Johnson and Puffy, not Diddy, Puffy was there
right.
to
mm-hmm.
announce their networks.
Okay.
And this is the syndrome that's passed down from black folks to black folks. We don't try to help each other out. We say, well, I'm going to start my own network. We have Centric. We have BET, even though it's owned by Viacom. Why in the world are we getting all these different networks? When they're trying to divide 13% of minority folks here in this country, you're not going to get the rating. Magic Johnson, remember when Magic Johnson had his talk show?
Mm-hmm.
Remember how horrible that was? Can you imagine what the network's going to be like?
Kathleen, do you remember Magic Johnson's network? His talk show?
Something in my brain is trying to connect on it. Some neurons are synapsing a little bit that they almost remember.
See, here was my point, Vanessa. She was supposed to at least forget that one. If she didn't know what we was talking about, she should have said that about Magic Johnson's talk show.
Yeah, she should have said that. I think
that
he had like 16 shows. Yeah.
It was not memorable at all.
Yeah.
But, yes, to your point that these networks, I think that one thing that I would be more concerned about is that they're not going to actually cater to people of color to begin with. I mean, they just are
owned by
minorities.
Although they will in the beginning.
Well, everybody does. Fox did.
Everyone does.
Fox started.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Everyone did.
Yeah, I mean.
The CW, WB, they all do. But how much, you know, it would be great because if you would think, okay, well, Kathleen could get a show. Or,
yes,
you know, you could get a show. You would think that would happen, but we're not talking about putting.
So fast
we're not talking.
What happened? Slow down on that one.
I mean, it should, but you don't. But it won't. It won't be quality shows. It will be buffoonish shows.
Right, they're going to go reality shows because they're cheaper to produce.
Right.
Just stick a camera at somebody.
Who's the biggest customer for Comcast?
The biggest
customer
for Comcast? Latinos. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, but there's about, I want to say, about six networks there in Comcast, and that part of their agreement from the FCC makes them do minority programming, which they don't do percentage-wise to the number of channels that they have. So they actually had to have an agreement that they were going to allow up to X amount of new minority channels. And so there you have it with Puffy and Magic Johnson coming up with their own channels, and I think there's another group that is vying for a channel. So I think, to Vanessa's point, it is going to be the programming that's more important, but the only network that I can recall that did not start off with minority-based programming would be Oprah's network. They didn't do any. Putting Dr. Phil and those guys on.
Well,
hence
you
their
ever
problem.
Look at our audience? I mean, come on.
Say it again?
You ever look at her audience?
Well, no. We're saying, but when you do a network, we're not talking about one show. Like, Oprah's show was doing right after.
I ain't talking about one show either, but when you look at Oprah's audience on a regular basis.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
Why would her network start out catering to people of color?
Well, here's the whole thing. And Oprah left the perception that she was going to have more minority programming because everyone was like, oh, well, she's going to have more minority programming. And she never said, I'm not doing – she didn't say anything. She let people come there And then the biggest comments in which white people picked up on this was they said, oh, well, she don't have enough minority programming, and they don't like Oprah anyway. I don't care what anybody thinks. These white boys can't stand that Oprah got this much money, has that much power. So anything negative, which really wasn't negative, it was the truth. Anytime a black person, they ask a black person to speak about the Oprah Network, they all basically said the same thing, whether they had a college education or not. It's not enough minority programming on.
Right, but nobody ever goes to Discovery Channel or goes to Disney or somebody and said that there's not minorities on there. I mean, it would be her. Like, we pick out who we want to throw, you don't have enough minorities on. But truly, I think Oprah doesn't understand, like a lot of us know, that culturally, as far as, you know, creativity and music and arts, black people drive that stuff. And that's why Fox started with, you know, bringing on shows like, well, before they brought on Tracy Altman and stuff, they did bring in Arsenio and all these minority kind of based shows. Married with Children was one of the earliest shows with Fox when Fox started. But if you look at, you know, Rock and Living Single and all of these shows that started on, you know, on Fox and then WB and CW, you know, who had The Game and had, you know, I can't think of those other shows, but they had a bunch of minority programming to get their network some footing, and then they wiped them off the map, but they still brought them on, and that's the point. You still have to bring them on. And it shows because, again, Sweetie Pies, which is pretty much the only reality show that doesn't show people really clowning, but that is the highest rated show on OWN, and so now they're even saying we're going to do more minority programming because she had this white female audience on lock, and that's all she wanted to cater to. She wanted to do a whole network that was just like We or just like Bravo without bringing on Atlanta Housewives. I'm just joking.
I happened to be there when Fox started at Fox 68 in Syracuse.
Yep.
We had Fox and we had UPN when they first started. I was there at the ground floor when both those networks started. I can tell you that minority programming sells. The very first program that ever picked up any kind of national sponsorship on Fox was the show New York Undercover. And that was
right.
Not Married with Children didn't get it. The Tracy Allman Show didn't get it. It was New York Undercover.
So, mm-hmm.
The problem was nationwide that you had white sales reps who did not know how to sell black programming. So there's breaks in there where you have local programming. They didn't know how to sell it. Well, I had a white general sales manager. We used to play spades every Friday. He was like, well, how do I sell it? I'm like you sell anything else. But they were so scared or they didn't know how to approach anybody about buying black network programming that when we went to nationals, for every year they tried to get them to cancel New York Undercover, which was their highest rated show. And then when they start getting a clause into these shows, they start making them change it so they would be more appealing or to force it off the air. New York Undercover was one of the highest rated shows that ever had been canceled. You saw what they did to Living Single. They forced Kyle off the show because he had dreads. It was a whole mess. But minority programming sells, and we bring ratings. Case in point, the Wayans Brothers, which is the most horrible. I'd rather watch Amos and Andy before I watch the Wayans Brothers.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's just a remake of Amos Andy.
Exactly. But they made money.
Right.
That's why they're in syndication, and that's why they make money. See, the money is also in the syndication because you make money. You go 4 years or 5 years, you're good. You're going to be in syndication. Now you have that show. Even Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx, the first year was great, but that was a corny show after a while. Even when I sit here and watch reruns, I say, God, I can't believe I used to rush home to see this crap.
Right. All right. So I just want to remind you, you're listening to and watching Esprit News on Ask Kathleen. You can call in, join in on the conversation, or hit us up in chat if you're on. And, you know, check out Ask Kathleen on Sundays. What time, Kathleen? I can't think of
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. See, I always come in a little late, so I can't tell you how to come in when I come in. But check her out on Sunday, 7 o'clock. Now, there is a story about Well, two stories. I know I didn't cover this one earlier today, but I know Finesse may want to comment on this. Now, Dunkin' Donuts brand said on Monday that NBA superstar LeBron James has agreed to promote Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin-Robbins ice cream in Asia, where the company has about a third of its stores. Now, they aim to open 100 more stores in the next 3 years in Asia. James will promote Dunkin' Donuts in China, Taiwan, India, and South Korea through advertisement, online media, and in-store marketing. So he may well be testing out what they say they're going to have on the menu, a new pork donut, which sounds really nasty, but Dunkin' Donuts executive said that they would not elaborate on the specific terms of the deal, but said it was a multi-year deal worth multi-millions of dollars. Now, James, who's two-time NBA Most Valuable Player, has the best-selling jersey and shoe in China and has visited Asia at least four times.
Now, what? Why did you guys make the funny noise about the pork donuts?
Kathleen really does want us to yell at her today, doesn't she?
Well, because you know what, Kathleen? We didn't really care.
Because what? Now what?
Because you didn't care. You didn't care?
Yeah, we didn't care about that part. We want, I think this whole thing, you know, kind of pork donut.
Well, that was just a side issue because they were introducing that in Asia anyway because they eat pork with a lot of stuff. And they said that even though they won't be selling it in the United States, they do sell a lot of pork stuff, and they're going to try a pork donut. Now, they didn't say LeBron would be promoting the pork donuts, but they were saying that that is being tested along with all this other stuff. So hopefully he won't
do that. Well, come on now. You know they're going to get – they got the darkie to come over there. And put that
pork donut. Who else
can
do a pork donut?
I can't wait to see this commercial. You can't say it's not connected. I mean, like they just said. You can't, like you said, they got the dirty to come over and sell the pork donut.
No. Okay, I have to tell you, this news story came out of a conservative website. It's in the UK, and they usually slant stories. I was just putting in the pork donut because they said that in the article someplace that they were promoting a new pork donut inside the James article, but technically that wasn't coming from Dunkin' Donuts, and I wouldn't say that. They just made mention that in China they sell pork donuts, whereas in Indonesia and someplace else they have I forgot the other off donut stuff that we won't have in this country. So they mentioned
probably being racist
more than it was about Dunkin' Donuts in their deal.
Their
deal
with
LeBron
James.
Who's
going to see it? Who's going to see it?
It's clearly money.
Right.
I read one report where it says basically because of his large following in China and the fact that they got 150 stores in China. This is no mistake. This is done. This is exact. This is precise. They're bringing in, you know, step it and fetch it to, you know, sell the pork donut to the people. I mean, they love LeBron.
Right.
LeBron chews on a pork donut, they're going to run out and buy one. I mean, come on.
Hopefully they have another new strawberry donut or something that he can do, but hopefully it's not the pork one. That's about the biggest thing to do with things.
Can I jump in for a second, though?
Mm-hmm.
Most donuts, at least the ones way back in the day when I used to eat donuts, mm-hmm. they were made with lard. And they actually, most donuts had pork in them anyway, as did most of the pastries and every other item that, you know, we ate as fast food or junk food, Twinkies and all that crap. It all had, you know, a lot of it was made with lard, which had a percentage of pork in it and all that nastiness. And not only that, but in Chinese food restaurants, I know you guys are going to hang up on me, but you can't because I'm
She's controlling the board. See, she's wrong for that today. Okay, go ahead.
But I did, Jerome, I did say, hey, you want to do the board? You're like, now.
Hold on, though.
In Chinese food restaurants, they have every kind of pork anything. So they've got pork dumplings, and they've got all kinds of little desserts and everything else they have. They probably have pork fried ice cream and everything else they've got that they put pork in. So it just doesn't sound that odd to me, because that's why I was asking you all why you were laughing at the pork donuts, because I was like, don't they have pork
Dunkin',
in donuts anyway?
Because Dunkin' Donuts, you know.
Go ahead, Finesse.
They said that the one place that the Dunkin' the pork donut won't be sold is Indonesia.
Is
that?
Where?
Yeah.
Indonesia.
Don't play.
Yeah.
It's a Muslim cousin.
Don't play. It's Muslim.
It's not Muslim. Where is it? It's are they Muslim?
Yeah, they said. Yeah, predominantly
Muslim.
Yeah.
Yeah. But see, the Dunkin' Donuts knows better. They know that you're getting a black man to do pork, just like you do a chicken commercial. You want to sell some good chicken, all you got to do is have some Negroes in it. You're going to test market it over there, and if it does well, you'll bring it here. LeBron James will be sitting somewhere on the beach with a barbecue donut made out of pork.
Oh, don't do that. Because he is a spokesman for McDonald's. Like, he did McDonald's commercial, and he never did the McRib. So hopefully he will not go that far. Hopefully not.
But see, my thing is, I don't have a problem with if he does that. My problem is, how come they're not finding any minority companies to back and bring up? Like, there's a sister that owns a cupcake company. She's got it in three states. Why are you not getting behind her? Why get behind somebody like Dunkin' Donuts?
You know, to your point, I just want to say this, because it reminds me of LL and how he brought up FUBU. Like, LL pretty much was... I mean, that was charity for him to hook up the folks in FUBU. But these guys have the power to do that as well for anybody else. And so, you know, they're offering him multi-millions of dollars, and as everybody who hated on him at Cleveland a couple years ago, he is obviously the best player in the NBA. And what's going to happen is that until American fans comes back, I don't blame LeBron for taking endorsement deals when he's so popular in a country with a couple billion people. Like, I can't really blame him. But, you know, we can look at our athletes and say that they should be looking at helping out businesses, which they're not. They don't have to, but I'm saying that they probably should. And by the way, while I'm on a food story, Kraft, the company that owns Oreo, the cookie, will release their limited version of the cookie and cream sandwich with the colorful filling. I guess they're going to go away from the white cream filling, which is a staple in households from New Jersey to Indonesia. They are worldwide. It's the first ever Oreo that was baked. Oreo was the first ever cookie that was baked by Nabisco, or National Biscuit Company. It was on West 15th Street in New York City, March 6, 1912. So they're at their 100-year anniversary, Nabisco. Or Oreo.
Is that a minority cookie?
The Oreo? I don't think so.
One with the not white cream anymore? Is it yellow cream or black cream?
They did not announce what the cream was going to look like, but I think the cookie's still going to be black, so I'm going to go with that.
Are
they frying it in pork?
Go ahead, Finesse. What'd you say?
Kathleen, whatever you smoking, can I get some?
Kathleen is having one of those days that, since we're on Kathleen's network, and again, you listen to Espreenet News on Ask Kathleen, Kathleen can do whatever she wants. We can tear up over here. I just want to tell y'all. See, notice, Finesse, I didn't stop you. We can do black on black crime on this network.
I'm just saying, whatever you smoking, can you send it Federal Express? I will wait on the port for it.
Kathleen is fun today. Now, Loki, you missed our conversation earlier where we did a story about a study that said minorities. Matter of fact, we're going to do this story first because you've been to Houston 2 billion times, so I want to give you the story. In Houston, Houston's metropolitan area is now the most ethnically diverse large metropolitan area in the country, with the two suburbs, Pearland and Missouri City. I have family in Missouri City as well. And this leading the region in diversity. And it's saying that Houston, the percentage of white folks in Houston the whole metropolitan area has dropped to 40%. And so there's more minorities, blacks. The blacks' numbers has really remained kind of the same. It's the Hispanic numbers that are up. So they're just saying that the minorities' numbers and the diversity in Houston is the largest in the country. Now, New York City has less than half white, 48.9% of the population is white in New York City. And in California, those numbers, they're obviously below 50% as well as far as whites are concerned in Los Angeles. So New York, so Houston is this big city. So I wanted to ask you.
I got one question.
Yes, sir.
I got one question. You know,
mm-hmm.
Where are the white people migrating to?
Where who?
Where are the white people migrating to?
Anywhere the Negroes are now.
I think Idaho's population has gone up immensely.
See, because that's what I want to see. I want to see the figures on. If we know any of our states that are bordering, you know, you're talking about the southern tip. You're talking about the western states bordering Mexico. We know what's happening out there, and we know what's happening in Houston, in Texas. I mean, and that's far up too. And Vanessa's probably seen this in Maryland and D.C. also. You know, the influx of Hispanics in those areas. But,
yeah,
right.
And I'm surprised that they.
Yeah.
And they're I was in Philadelphia and I was in York, Pennsylvania, and they were up there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
well, you know what? I wouldn't worry about that so much. Just to say that this country is a huge country, and they have the majority every place outside of metropolitan areas. And black people, 90%, I think it's 90 or 95%. Of black people in particular are in urban areas. And so this country is huge, and so every other place is filled to the brim. It's not that they're leaving. It's just that those areas are expanding. So I wouldn't say they were going anywhere because I don't think they'd leave. I think that's why you see. Well, I think that's why you see.
I think they're going, man.
Change.
I think they're keeping it a secret.
No, yeah, they're not telling anybody they sneak it out. No.
Yeah, the white folks?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what he's saying.
Well, you know, okay, when you look at the story of Houston, I said this earlier, low-key. Houston started changing, and this normally happens. When we start seeing ourselves prominently in the city, and when you look at Houston, you got to go back as far as Warren Moon. When Warren Moon became the quarterback of Houston Oilers, that city started changing. So you had that, you had the music, and then once Katrina hit, now you bring that whole city together. Now,
mm-hmm.
I know this from studying Texas because I thought maybe at one point I'll move down there, but with their races behind, I would never move there. You've got those folks moving to places like Dallas, Austin, where they can dominate. Well, there's an HBCU down there. I think it's Prairie View or something like that.
Yes.
That sits in the middle of nowhere, but that's a little bit more black than a lot of other cities. So when you go to Texas or when you go to Florida or you go to Alabama, people will tell you, this is where the black people stay, this is where the white people stay. That's the conversations when you hit those states like that. Another area that you're going to see a little later on is going to take the same shape. You're going to look at Tennessee. Tennessee has a football team. A lot of things started happening in Tennessee. You're going to see that black number and the population in that area really go up. But, again, you're going to see a lot of segregation because in the mountains, you got the white folks that live there, and then you got the black folks that live in the city.
Yeah, I think you've actually seen it already begin in Tennessee about 10 years ago. Tennessee began to change. You've even seen that in Charlotte where you have the rural spread now where the city of Charlotte has spread out into the rural areas now. And once they brought in the metro system, it just speeds that process up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like I said, I know those. As we start looking around the country, some of the southern cities are starting to expand, and we're watching a lot of the legislations in some of those states become very restrictive, like on voting and all of those, just because those numbers are getting so high. So you're watching white folks react to those numbers as well. It's not just like what are we doing and what things can we change. You're watching the people who have power and who have influence now start to build their laws and make policies that's going to hinder black folks that are in those areas as well. So I can tell you some really interesting Texas stories, but it will be it'd just be a bad day. And speaking of crazy people, you know, I want to talk about the Georgetown Law student that Rush Limbaugh, the former drug addict. I don't know if it's former, but I know his illegal alien housekeeper scored him illegal drugs, and he said he had a problem. He went to rehab. So I don't want to say former. I don't know if he's still doing drugs. But talk show host Rush Limbaugh this week apologized for calling the Georgetown Law student Sandra Fluke a slut and a prostitute when it came to her testimony a congressional hearing testimony when talking about contraceptives. Now, contraception. Now, he also said if the government is going to give contraception to students or to her, that she needs to post a video so that we all can see because we're paying for it. And then he said that he was just joking. He was exaggerating. And everybody knows that he's over the top. I don't know. Who wants to take a shot at that?
Didn't he say something crazy about he didn't think that that was as offensive as possible as people are taking it, because people in rap videos can say call people whatever they want to call people without getting in trouble?
Yeah,
didn't he say?
But that was just a distraction. Republicans are really good at this. Conservative people say, well, what about what y'all say, knowing that we didn't say anything remotely close. He is a person that is influencing Fox News. They're picking up stories on regular news stations because of that fake news channel of Fox News, which is not news. And he's saying these things, and he was berating her as a private citizen that spoke to Congress. He called her all of these names and said this to her, but he says, oh, my bad, I didn't mean to call her those two names. And so the singer Peter Gabriel demanded that his music be removed, because while he was saying those things about Sandra Fluke, he was playing Sledgehammer, the Peter Gabriel song, so he asked that it be removed. And over 40 advertisers actually took their advertisement from the show this week and since it happened. So it's interesting to watch this guy backtrack and all of the conservative presidential candidates or Republican presidential candidates act like this never happened. But again, if it was Democrat, I like to remind people that Anthony Weiner resigned because he took a picture of himself with his clothes on. So these guys could do some horrible things and nothing will happen. But Democrats will get you out for really silly stuff these days. What you want to say, Lucky?
No, I mean, totally, man. I just think, not even spending time to talk about this idiot. I think it's ridiculous. I mean,
believe.
Every year we spend time talking about Rush Limbaugh. And that, just like the Republican idiots all said, you know, the guy doesn't carry any weight he thinks he does, and, you know, he can't deliver one vote. I mean, guys don't.
Oh, right. Yeah, I'm not. I am definitely not. I definitely feel like you should never promote crazy folks. And if they're going to be, you know, racist on air and do some, you know, crazy stuff, the guy Sean Hannity, and I don't usually even call them out by name, but even the stuff that Bill O'Reilly said today, he was on The View, and they have a transcript of the things that he says. And his numbers, everything that he said was absolutely wrong and misleading. And these guys talk on the air like they are telling the truth. So sometimes it's good to refute them without giving them the publicity. But when they go unchecked, people start to believe that what they're saying is true. So I can give you these numbers, and people don't really like numbers, I must add. But when I start giving numbers about job creation, you know, after the stimulus, you know, 3.7 million private sector jobs have been created. And what happens is that there's a way to track those numbers. You know, they're coming independently, but they'll say the president hasn't created any jobs. I'm telling you that's true. To know that Social Security has a $2.5 trillion surplus, it can pay off every benefit for the next 25 years. And to hear those nuts talking about we need to do something about Social Security, it's bankrupting us. It's not. It's a $2.5 trillion surplus on Social Security. So when we start talking about that and we don't leave that unchecked, people act as if what they're saying must be true. So although I don't like to talk about them, I do like to correct the fact that things like the U.S. economy was shrinking 6% a year and now grows at 2% a year, which last month was upgraded to 3% last year, was the most dramatic turnaround in our lifetime as far as our economy shrinking and growing. And that was during President Obama's time. And everyone wants to criticize because they listen to those guys because they talk like they are giving facts. So when he gets called out, he says, I'm just a comedian. I don't really even know why everybody taking me so serious. I think that we need to call people on that when they do that.
And see, and that's exactly why President Obama is coming out with this video, which I think is smart. He's one of the, he knows what he's doing. He's going to put this video out. It'll be on YouTube, and it will discuss everything that these folks are lying about, and he's doing it in a forum that they've been using to their advantage for the last, you know, 3.5 years to try to dismiss him. So now he'll come out with this 17-minute video, and it'll show all of that. I think it's brilliant on his part, and, you know, it's going to slap some people and wake them up.
Right.
I agree. Long time coming.
You know, but unfortunately, I have to say that this is not the president's fault. I think that with media, with news, with the Democrats and the Democratic Party, they should have been touting this stuff themselves. I mean, I know I talk about this on the show all the time, and even when I do other shows and people ask me questions, I will gladly, you know, tell them that the 2011 Congress was the least productive Congress in modern history, and the U.S. spent, you know, $20 billion on just air conditioning in Iraq and Afghanistan. That's where your money is going. I will say that, but I think that they do an injustice to the people to wait for the president to spend money to tell you something that you should have been told all year. You know, we should have been told that. So, you know, I know that Kathleen, in the past, Kathleen and I, you know, we've talked about that, and I know she's a supporter of the president, but at the same time, there are those lone voices that come out, and it makes us all look like we're rabid supporters of the president. But the truth is that when you start bashing somebody for no reason, like the Bobby Brown conversation we just had, somebody needs to come up and say something.
Yeah.
I mean, that is my opinion on that. But
well, I mean,
like I said,
you're...
go ahead, Vanessa.
You're absolutely right, and even with the case with the HBCUs, they haven't even come out and defended President Obama, who has done several things in an effort to help the HBCUs, and I think there was a couple of weeks ago he signed something that's going to even help them further, but the only thing you hear them say is negative stuff, and he's done more than any other president in U.S. history. He's done more for the people who have no money than they can even imagine. He's just done so much. And this is with a president that's been, you know, he's got to worry about his own party disrespecting him, and let alone the Republican Party. So he's done his part, and he's going to show it next week when this video drops.
Right. I mean, we can tell you that just even in knowing those facts, though, to your point, is that the U.S. import oil right now at a 16-year low. Like, that's how much oil – less oil that we import now since the president's been there, and we export in the first time in 62 years that we export more refined oil than we actually import. We export 3.1 million barrels a day from this country, and we only import 2.2 million barrels a day. First time in 62 years.
How much of that is going to China, though?
Well, see, and that is the point, right? So even though I say that, Republicans are saying that we need to keep drilling because we need more oil. But what people don't know is that oil is on an open market. And so even if they drill oil here, they ship it. And so unless we get control over how that system works, you know, how speculation works, right, we don't use any more oil. We're producing oil at a record level. Why our oil price is going up? It's because the market speculators are gambling on Middle Eastern stuff and things that's happening and the Straits of Hormuz and all those Hormuz and all of that, and they're driving prices up doing speculation, not based upon consumption, if we're at a 16-year low. So it's not a supply and demand issue. It's a market issue. It's a Wall Street issue of why our prices are going up. So unless somebody's there to explain that stuff to you, it really does look a little bit different. And we have to keep those records straight. So for those of us who know, President Obama has the best legislative record than any president since Lyndon Johnson. Nobody knows that. Nobody really talks about that. But we hear people on the other side say crazy stuff, and then people at CNN and MSNBC and ABC, they keep repeating the same nonsense. So The View is programming people because they're bringing on the crazy Fox people on mainstream media talking crazy without correcting them. I think that's more of a problem for all of us.
So, I wonder how much of the oil will be used to heat up the oil that was going to fry those pork donuts.
Okay, Finesse, would you like to take this one?
What was
Kathleen,
the question?
I'll say it with you. Kathleen, what are you drinking?
What is she smoking? Send it here.
Well, you asked how much of the oil was going to China, and I just couldn't help myself. I just like,
see, okay.
Kathleen, Kathleen.
Yeah.
Kathleen, pass the duchy on the left-hand side.
Okay, since we're talking about fast food, let me give I didn't do this week in court, but let me do one story for Kathleen's sake. McDonald's cannot be sued because of one of its cashiers beat a customer with a spatula in Mississippi. A court ruled in Mississippi, the appeals court said McDonald's can't be sued because somebody beat somebody with a spatula at McDonald's. Take that one, Kathleen.
They won that case? Wow.
Somebody won that case. As an attorney, I would like you to explain to me how come you can't sue McDonald's if they hit
Mississippi.
What'd you say?
That's Mississippi.
Oh, I'm sorry. That is Mississippi. Corporate's best friend.
Yeah.
By the way, in Manhattan, though, minorities who face discrimination when testing to join the New York City Fire Department may collect up to $128 million in back pay, and that federal ruling came out this week as well. So New York City needs to cough it up.
Yeah. While we're I'm going to say dumb laws.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Georgia originally, but I still find it hard to believe, like, in Alabama, it is still legal to have to marry your brother or your sister.
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, come on now. So this is the same state. It's legal to have incestuous marriage, and it's illegal to sell peanuts in Lee County, Alabama, after sundown on Wednesday.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you got places like Live Oak, Florida, where my family is originally from. You can't buy alcohol.
Right.
You can't buy it at all.
Right County.
At all.
Right County.
Yeah.
South, yeah. Yeah. A lot of the South is still dry.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And if you go to another county, you have to put it in your trunk. If you have it anywhere in your car other than your trunk and you bring it back, you can go to jail for a year.
Okay.
And you got places in my country that if you roll the ganja in the wrong kind of paper, you could end up with a lot of trouble.
Finesse, would you like to take this one?
That proves my point. Kathleen, just put it in some coffee and send it to me.
Kathleen,
step away from the weed.
I just want a little of what she's got.
You know,
I'm telling you.
Kathleen obviously is not in a dry county, so we're going to really kind of look at it a little bit differently.
She gets to grow her own whatever county she's in.
And on that note, I just want to remind you, you listen to Esprinet News on Ask Kathleen. We are kind of mixing it up in some of the news stories this week and just trying to be easy. We have Kathleen Williams here co-hosting, I think, if Kathleen is not a little busy. And we have columnists, and both of them are actually columnists for us, Low-Key is on the line, and we have Finesse. And so you can check out his writings on SoulofSyracuse.com, or you can check him out on My Soul Radio. What time is your show? From 10 to 2?
2 to 6.
Good Lord. See, I missed it a while ago, didn't I? And if we can ever get together, we will do Black on Black Crime.
Yeah. All right. We don't smoke weed on that show. We do that later.
Not at all. That's only the late night show that we do internationally. Oh. Kathleen is now our correspondent from Jamaica, so she's actually offshore. So that's why she said that.
Well, hey, listen.
That's all I want.
I have a question about Bobby Brown, because I was reading on one of these CaribbeanFever.com that Bobby Brown was homeless for a minute there, living out of his car and having difficulty getting money from Whitney to visit with and spend time with Bobby Christina. And I didn't know how much of that, if any of it, was true. So I wanted you to talk about that.
That's true, because that heifer they call Superhead actually put it out on a video that Bobby was sleeping in her house, and that is true.
Okay, now, but I do want to say this, because since we, and, you know, I don't really, not really big on the gossip side of news, but you also have to remember that although Bobby commingled his funds with her, he had no access to her accounts, and so once they spent out of their joint accounts, Bobby had no more money. So I just want to say that, because that was in a news story about 2 or 3 years ago. And I think people are missing the point about when you commingle funds and all of that good stuff. So Bobby had no access to anything outside of what he brought into it, although she was spending out of the same accounts that he had. And then once that was gone, they were just done. So I don't want to – I know on the gossip side of watching news stories about Bobby Brown's ups and downs, I really want to be clear – that we still don't know what happened inside of the house of Bobby and Whitney, but obviously they cared enough about each other to stay together for 14 years. So,
well, the reason that I asked is because you were mentioning earlier that Bobby and Christina was going to possibly be living with him, or they were talking about that. So I was just wondering, you know, how that would work out. If any of that was true, because I didn't know anything.
Well,
about
no,
it.
But that was before, right? You know, he did Being Bobby Brown. And do you remember the other reality show that he was on? That was, I think it was MTV,
the country one.
Yeah,
he was on the country one.
Right, and so
he was on Celebrity Fit Club, and then the country one.
Right, and so his problems during that time were kind of well documented, because he let it play out in front of everybody, but you know, we're not judged by how far we fall. It's just pretty much that he's been keeping a steady path on doing what he's doing. So, you know, I hate to see tabloid stuff of trying to make that an impression about how Bobby Christina needs to be raised. That is her father. So, you know, it's interesting to watch, but not that interesting to judge. Just want to share. I didn't mean to bring everybody down.
High on your own supply.
Kathleen. I can't mute her, guys, and she did threaten that we would kick her off. But Kathleen,
what did I do? I just asked you how old Bobby Christina was. That's all I said.
Oh, she's 18.
She's 19. Gonna be 19.
Oh, okay.
Like
the news said 18.
What did
she's
you think
19?
I said?
Oh no.
Well,
I was
you
joking.
Said fuck fast.
That's what we thought you said. We thought Smokey was it was a Chris Tucker joke someplace in there, but we wasn't really sure.
I was asking how old she was.
Kathleen messing up the rotation. Just pass and keep it going. Puff and
Kathleen
pass.
Is messing up the rotation.
She's in rare form. Rare form.
You know, okay, so since Kathleen wants to be in rare form, we're going to have the guys ask this question, because Kathleen's going to jump on us about this. And I know we only have about 6 minutes left in the program, but I picked this news story out from Holland. Now, a former winner of TV shows Holland's Next Top Model won her lawsuit against the modeling agency after she was dropped for being too large. Now, the agency, she's 25 years old. She won the prize outright in 2008. She had a 3-year contract worth more than, you know, almost nearly $100,000. And they told her after she made only $13,000, they gave her $13,000 worth of work, and they said she didn't lose enough weight because they wanted her to lose a couple of inches off of her hips. They said that she was too large, so she sued them. And she won her case because they can't tell her that when her hips was the same size that she won. And now they want her to lose weight because they got an image. So it's she's actually
like
from
6'5"?
Huh?
That's a big girl. I'm sorry.
Well, you know, but the issue is that can you change the body image after somebody wins a reality show of Next Top Model and then tell them, hey, we like the way you look, you won, but you need to change your nose. Like, can you do that? No, because that goes to other things about wanting to change people's appearance.
Was she black?
No. This would be in Holland. I don't know if I need to emphasize Holland too much, but that's going to be in Holland.
Intervention.
Because that would have been a BET's Next Top Model, and she would have been a little bit, she wouldn't have won if she was too small. Like, they wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, so we knew that she wasn't black. Although,
where was she from? Wasn't she living in some predominantly white country, the one from Africa that you told me about, wrong?
No, I did not. Hey, now, I don't watch Next Top Model.
No, there was she won a Miss America, not a Miss America, she won a pageant, like Miss Universe.
Oh, right,
like,
right, and she came from like a predominantly white nation.
Smoking too many blunts. One blunt to get you high enough.
I did that one. I was going to call finesse on you on this one, but I thought I'd let it go because I remember the story.
You told me about it, actually.
I sure did. I did tell you about that story, but finesse, you're right. Again, Kathleen is in rare form today.
She had really large hips and stuff, and she got, you know, and then they derailed her and stuff. I just figured it sounded like a minority story, so I figured, hey, she must be black.
No, you know what? This is the issue of trying to make everybody fit into one, you know, certain type of look and all of that good stuff. Oh, you know, by the way, you know, and I know we talked about it in our political part of the show. I know we talked about the Republicans and Democrats and how that works nationally opposed to statewide, but there's a story that says the Republicans in Indiana are taking self-defense too far. Now, in a move supported by the NRA, the National Rifle Association, Indiana's House of Representatives passed Senate Bill 1, which allows homeowners to shoot and kill police officers they believe are unlawfully in their homes or on their property. They just passed that this week. Now, Republicans are really out of control, don't you think?
Where was that?
That's in Indiana.
Oh.
I'm just saying, they're out of control. Like, they really have a disdain for government and issues with women and all of that other stuff. So, you know, they have issues. But just want to remind you, you're listening to Ask Kathleen or Esprinet News on Ask Kathleen. We're here with Loki, Finesse, and Kathleen. I know we're winding down to the end of the show, so I want to make sure that everybody gets their last words in. And check out Finesse on My Soul Radio. What's up, Finesse?
My Soul Radio. My Soul Radio, Monday through Friday, 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Check out the column on soulofsyracuse.com and on My Soul Radio, Indie Soul. Home
Indie
of the Soul. Best weed.
Hey, with Ask Kathleen, or just Ask Kathleen.
Yeah, that's what it is. Just Ask Kathleen with a good weed at.
We're going to try not to use that as a tagline. And Loki, we're going to ramp up. Loki has a show coming out that's going to talk about relationships. So we're going to bring Loki.
I'm there. When?
Hey, and we gonna attack it with don't get high on your own supply.
I was gonna call Vanessa and then slam Kathleen, but okay, I'm glad you did that. It's gonna be a calmer show, Kathleen. Maybe, you know, maybe not, because low key, I know he's gonna say some stuff on there that's gonna make everybody at least have one drink.
I want that show. I want to be on the relationship show. What time? I'm listening.
No, we're looking. You know what? We're looking for the best time, and once we determine that, we're gonna come out hard.
Yeah,
Sunday
so
afternoons at 3 o'clock.
Afternoons at 3, just make it happen during the day, huh? Love in the afternoon. All right. Well, and Kathy,
what was that?
Sunday afternoons at 3.
All right.
Hey, that's a good time. All right, now, Kathleen?
Yes?
We're going to leave you with the last word. Give it to us, Kathleen. Ask Kathleen.
Hey.
Okay, Finesse.
She's bagging up right now, folks.
Hey.
Do you remember the movie The Ladies' Man where he looked at his drink and he said, it looks like the cognac is low. That means the show's over. That's what it reminds me of. It's like,
Kathleen over there with a bottle of MD 2020 in a joint.
And she's like, looks like we're coming towards the end of our show.
Scuba Nog, you remember
Strawberry
Scuba
Nog? Zigzag.
Remember what?
Scuba Nog.
What is that?
What?
All right, I think that's another show. I think we're going to end this one. I don't know where she's going.
Show.
I hope you ain't got a pen, no cup, for no test, no time zone.
All right, well, thanks for tuning in to Ask Kathleen, Esprinet News Radio, for Loki, for Finesse, and for Kathleen. We're not going to let her talk anymore. I just want to say thanks for tuning in, and check us out again next week. Later, guys.
All right.
All right, guys. Good night.
Good night.